How's it going, everybody? Welcome to That Time of the Week. I'm your host, Matthew Morgan, and today we are joined by nobody. But that is fine. I made Scott do the last 2 hours by himself as I was sleeping, unfortunately. See, usually I stay busy on Fridays. There's usually stuff to do. But everybody I usually hang out with or anything like that on Friday was... today, I guess, is busy, or was busy, I guess, and I ended up just sitting there, and that's not good, because then I get bored and tired, and then I go to sleep. I guess I could have read or something. Reading usually keeps me up. I like to read, so that's something. So I figure as per usual, we're going to talk about politics, but we're going to do, once again, all three levels. Now, as far as the city goes, there is flock camera legislation to ban flock cameras in the committees right now. I don't think the flock cameras are going to be banned. It would seem to me that it's probably just more likely that they'll put more restrictions on it. You know, it seemed everybody on the committee was all right with putting more restrictions on it. So there's that. I do think that they could probably just put it up for a full council vote as is, and it'd probably fail. Truth be told, I don't think it's got 5, maybe 4. But there's only 3 that I know of that would vote to ban it. I think would vote to ban it. Other than that, I don't think that they have 2 more votes. So there's that. Now, I am opposed to the flock cameras. I do not like the flock cameras. I do not think that the government needs to be tracking people. I was talking to somebody the other day who was in favor of the flock cameras, and, they basically mentioned that it helps them catch criminals and, you know, hit me with the good old line of, if you're not doing anything wrong, you have nothing to fear. And I told him that, well, we might as well just start letting cops pull people over for no reason. You know how many people with warrants you'd find? I think we should just start let cops go through people's houses without a warrant. Just like, you know, random searches. You'd find all the drug dealers. You'd find all the kidnapped people. You'd find all the, I don't know, all the anything. And, you know, I just don't think it's worth it. I don't know. I like privacy. And, so there's that. But I don't know. The flock camera camera conversation at city council was long time, like probably pretty close to like 90 minutes. Which, you know, I have no problem with long meetings in city council or anything like that. I mean, you know, city council's a good place to have the long meetings and, you know, ask the questions, or make your opinion known, I guess, but it just seemed like everybody who got up to speak in opposition to the flock cameras gave the same exact statement. There was just no need, I guess. It was kind of, yeah, I don't know. There just wasn't a need, I think, to have everybody say the same thing. But, you know, I guess it showed how many people were in opposition to the flock cameras. It's good, I guess. I wish more people came to city council. City council was so full on Monday that, it was pretty close to standing room only in there. That's good. I mean, you know, public effort in politics is not a bad thing. I think flock cameras are just a path to 1984. I think we're far from 1984, but I do think that it wouldn't be hard at this point to make it feasible. I mean, like, you know, they could listen through your phone. I don't know that they do any of these things. I just know that they, you know, it wouldn't be hard to. They could listen to you through your phone. I mean, they can. I mean, everything you take a picture of goes into a cloud. I'm sure they could go through the cloud. I mean, I don't know. Like, we had the conversation about Ring cameras and about how it was opposed to the Ring cameras. And it's basically the same thing. By the way, they could subpoena your Ring footage and you know, to help the police solve crimes. But they don't necessarily have to. I mean, you do not own, like, if you have a Ring camera, you do not own the footage or pictures your Ring camera takes. Ring does. And Ring, by the way, is owned by Amazon. I don't know that that's relevant. I guess it's just something I like to mention. Ring is owned by Amazon. And Ring has given the police access to customers, I guess, you know, I don't want to say accounts. Like, they've given them access to footage and pictures, essentially. And also, Ring cameras are also susceptible to being hacked. That's a big concern with the Flock cameras. So there's that. And oh, by the way, if you hack into a Ring camera, it can talk. So yeah, I mean, there's been people whose Ring cameras have been hacked, and then they're like, you know, hackers, like, watching you through the Ring camera and talking to you. I don't know. It's just strange. I do not like Ring cameras. I do not like Flock cameras. Anyways, yeah, I mean, I don't know what else really there is to say about that until the, something happens with the legislation, but, it'll be exciting to see what ends up happening to the Ring camera Flock camera legislation. The city has also been put in fiscal. By the way, if you have anything you would like to say to add to the conversation or outside of the conversation, feel free. 740-383-9944. That is 740-383-9944. Yeah, so the city has been put in a fiscal emergency. This didn't really surprise me much. I mean, the city's been in fiscal, dire fiscal straits for, you know, a minute now. And we haven't reconciled books since late 2019. Well, I guess it's, you know, changed now, but prior it wasn't until, like, late 2019 that our books had been reconciled. I think now we're up to, like, problems started in 2019. I think books stopped being reconciled in 20 or 21. I think 21. But yeah, I mean, I don't really know a whole lot to say about this. I just felt it was worth bringing up. I mean, no one's been appointed to anything, and nothing's really changed yet. So I guess we have to wait to see what happens with the appointments and what ends up happening as far as what the recommendations they give the city are. So there's that. But, I mean, I don't know. I think that, it's an interesting situation. Apparently it's not all that common to go into fiscal emergency, but also there's been a place that, Keith Faber said had been since the beginning of his administration there had been in fiscal emergency. So you can either be in there a long time or a little time. Like, I don't remember where they mentioned or where he mentioned, but they had it all sorted out in like a year and a half, 2 years or something like this. So they said, like, he said record time. I don't know if it was actually record time, but very quick in comparison to, I guess, the average. So depends on what you do, but you can get out of there in no time. So there's that. Now I did, I think that's all I had for the local stuff, but there were a few Ohio stores that I wanted to bring up here. Better Choices Ohio, chaired by Republican former, Representative, Gene Krebs of rural Southwest Ohio, and Democratic, former Democratic Representative, Sean Logan of the Mahoning Valley, They conducted a study of 1,284 voters in June of this year, and the survey found that 82.5% think special interests have too much control over politics, 71.6% don't think their member of the U.S. Congress represents them, 69.9% feel there's a lack of meaningful choice on the ballot, and they make a note to mention here that 82% of unaffiliated or independent are 82% are unaffiliated or independent voters. And of those 1,284 voters, I guess, surveyed, of those 35 and under, 92% are unaffiliated. So it seems that the large majority are unaffiliated, but the people under 35 are vastly unaffiliated. You know, I mean, I do think that I could get behind this. I mean, I do think that special interests have too much control over politics. I mean, you know, they. I don't know. I mean, I've talked on here before about how I think getting rid of Citizens United would be a good thing, and you know, getting money out of politics, generally speaking, I don't think can be a bad thing. I mean, you got to have money to run elections, I guess, but I mean, I don't know. It's strange. So yeah, there's 71.6 don't think their U.S. Congress represents them. I could get behind that too. Yeah, I mean, I feel I don't think the government's doing anything that I would be a fan of at this moment. I don't know. Oh, by the way, when Pastor Craig was on earlier, he was talking about a bill that AOC had put forward that has a lot of support. It's called the Defiance Act, and it's about basically AI images. So it protects people from having their image used in, I guess, like AI footage or pictures or something like that. I don't know, like, exactly what the what qualifies as would be breaking that law, but I mean, I don't know. I could imagine you could use it for, like, I don't know, something funny maybe. I couldn't tell you. But there is that, which I think is probably good. I mean, I think that using AI to is AI definitely needs legislated against. There's a lot of I don't know. AI is just too big. It's growing too fast, and I honestly don't think we really have a grasp on it. Some people might, you know. There's people have a, you know, it's like their specialty. But I, you know, beyond those people, I don't think anybody really has an understanding of AI. It's quite complex the way AI works, but it's interesting nonetheless. I mean, if you have time to try to figure that out, it's neat. So yeah. There it is. Sorry, I was checking. Look through the numbers. 69.9% feel there's a lack of meaningful choice, which I agree with. I mean, it seems, I don't know. I think that the more candidates that are on the ballot, the better. And also, I think we should, this isn't happening to my knowledge, but it'd be nice, I think, if we banned party affiliation from the ballot, and you just voted on names. I think that'd be quite beneficial. I mean, I guess you could probably still make known that you're a Republican or a Democrat, but I don't know. So I don't know what difference it'd make. I mean, I think that people would probably still kind of know. But ultimately, I think it'd be beneficial to ban the party affiliations. I would be in the 35 and under that are unaffiliated. Well, I guess, I don't know. I guess I'm affiliated with the Republican Party right now. I voted for Jason Schaber in the primary, so I am of the Republican Party right now. So, there's that. Now, I think that's rather interesting. I think that's a good poll. I mean, they didn't poll as many people as I would have liked, or, I don't know, do a study of, as many people as I would liked. I mean, 1,284 is, I mean, that's a good number of people. But, you know, there's, I mean, you know, 900,000 people in Columbus alone. So, definitely a small sample size as compared to the state of Ohio. But I think these numbers are probably accurate. And, you know, I haven't met a whole lot of people who feels that Congress cares about them, or is doing what's in the people's best interests. So there's that. Also, for the state level, the Ohio FOP is endorsing the entire Republican ticket with Ohio FOP president, Marion's own Jay McDonald. He said, our people see what they believe to be attacks on law enforcement, and those attacks often come from the Democrat Party. So, I don't know. I guess they feel, for whatever reason, that the, by the way, the article I read, it did mention that they endorsed all, but I think one of the Democrats, all but one of the Democrats in 2018, and then I think in 2022 it said that endorsed, one Democrat. This year it's no Democrats. I think I have those years right. But yeah, so the FOP has endorsed the entire Republican ticket in Ohio. I mean, you know, I guess that's fine. It doesn't necessarily surprise me. I mean, the Republican Party, to my understanding, is you know, generally seen as the party of law and order, so it doesn't necessarily surprise me that the FOP would endorse them. But I also didn't know that the Ohio FOP had been endorsing Democrats, you know, rather recently. As, like I said, almost the entire Democratic ticket in 2018. So yeah. I don't know, I just thought that was interesting. Good for the Ohio Republicans who now have the endorsement of the FOP. By the way, it did mention how the process was going. So there was like a questionnaire you filled out, and then there was also like in-person interviews, and then there were like interactions with FOP members, a few, maybe one or two other things. But yeah, so I guess they all agreed that, or not all, but you know, I'd assume the large majority of them agreed to endorse the entire Republican ticket, which, like I said, I don't think is surprising in my mind, but good for the Republicans, unfortunate for the Democrats. But there's that. Now, I was looking, just, you know, for Ohio-related stories when I was looking for this particular one, but I just thought it was interesting. I don't know that it means a whole lot, but, Ramaswamy has spent $9 million on ads. So, like, you know, it made point to clarify, like, electric ads, like, television, and things like that. Ramaswamy has spent $9 million on ads, and Amy Acton has spent just $100,000. Now, I don't know. Vivek's got money. I know Vivek's got money. He could, you know, self-fund a campaign by himself. So there's that. I mean, it doesn't surprise me that Vivek spent a bunch of money on ads. But Acton spending only $100,000 on ads is rather surprising to me. I mean, earlier July, like July, like 6th or something like that, early July, she mentioned that her campaign had surpassed $18.4 million in fundraising. I don't know what they're doing with their $18.4 million. At this point, obviously, I'd assume it's more, probably pretty close to, like, I don't know, 19 maybe. I don't know. Like I said, it hasn't even been a month yet, so probably pretty close to, like, I don't know, 18.6. But nonetheless, I don't know what they're doing with the fundraising money, but they haven't done anything, as far as I've seen. I don't know. I know I was watching The Matrix when last week I was gone, and I had gone to a cabin in Hocking Hills with two cousins, one of my cousins' husband, and my brother and sister, and we just were at the cabin, I guess. But we watched The Matrix, first time I'd ever seen The Matrix. We watched The Matrix Reloaded, also. And, the only reason I bring that up is because, every time there was a commercial break, an ad break, it seemed like each and every time there was a Vivek Ramaswamy ad attacking Amy Acton. I can even tell you that it was about the whole thing with the police coming to her house, in, 2020, I think? For the whole domestic thing, and the ad's all about that, and it was, like I said, every time I saw an ad break, that was on there. So Vivek is definitely spending money on the ads, and I think that the Amy Acton campaign needs to do something with their money, otherwise they're gonna, sit there. I don't really know what they're planning to do. But, I don't know. I mean, I think that they could definitely be spending money on ads at this point. They could be spending money on literature to send out. You could do interviews. Those are free. But to be fair, Vivek's not doing a whole lot of interviews either. I don't know. I just think it's interesting to only spend $100,000. She's been outspent, $900 times. Something like that. I think my math is awful there. Yeah, definitely awful. 90. It'd be 90 times, not 900. I'm stupid. Don't listen to my math. But yeah, it'd be 90. But yeah, 90 times is still 90 times. I don't know, that's rough. Nonetheless, that's where we're at this moment. Now, earlier on, in the shows this morning, we were talking about the gubernatorial election, and Scott had asked if I had thought, who I thought was gonna win if it was, when the election is held. And I do not know who's going to win. I think the election is going to be pretty close. But, I think a lot of people are not giving Vivek the credit that is due, I guess, if that makes sense. Now, Amy Acton did get more votes in the primary than, Vivek did. But Vivek also had two other people on the ballot against him, and something like 25% of it, because Casey Putsch had 18, and I do believe Heather Hill had 7. So, 25% of the Republican voters did not vote for him. It's not, there were just more Republican voters who pulled ballots than there were Democratic voters who pulled ballots. So I think that if the people who voted in the primary, if all of those people show up and all of those people vote for Vivek, there's a good chance in my mind that Vivek will win. 18% did vote for Casey Putsch, who, Casey Putsch he's running basically an anybody but him campaign. The campaign's over now. I guess he lost the primary. But he had made some, he's not exactly, he made a post to his, some social media saying, shooting targets with a lever action, and he says, like, hey, Vivek, want to play Cowboys and Indians? And he says, don't worry, it's feathers, not dots. Now, I don't know what you want to call that, but that's, that's racist. I don't know what else to call it, you know. So there's that. And he also had, like, you know, a German, like, some kind of, like beer garden or something. And he had, some kind of, like, German something or another. Some kind of, like, German heritage thing at a beer hall. And, you know, it's not great. I mean, the man's name is, you know, Casey Putsch. You have, I mean, like, it's a German heritage thing at a beer hall for a guy named Putsch. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about, like World War II, like, post-World War II, I guess, or, sorry, pre-World War II, not post. Hitler, once upon a time, had a beer hall Putsch, and, yeah, basically like a beer hall rally. And I'm like, I don't know. I mean, he said that if people showed up driving, not Putsch said that if people showed up driving a German car, he'd buy him a free drink. Like, you know, I don't know. That's not exactly great. So that guy got 18% of the vote. So I don't know how many of those 18% are going to vote for Vivek Ramaswamy, but if the majority of them do, like I said, I think Vivek's got a pretty good shot. I don't know that he's going to win it, but I think he's got a pretty good shot. Amy Acton has a good shot too, but you know, I think that it's less of an uphill battle for Vivek than it is Amy Acton, and I don't think the Amy Acton campaign has done nearly enough to overcome the Republican vote in Ohio as of currently. If the election was held today, I don't know who would win either. Like I said, it's close, but you know, she's being outspent 90 times on advertising. And I don't know what she's done with any of the $18.5 million she's raised. So, I don't know. I don't know what you do about that, but I thought that was an interesting little note to make that she has spent basically nothing on ads. So, yeah. There is that. Now, once again, if you have anything you'd like to add to the conversation, do feel free to call in, 740-383-9944, that's 740-383-9944. You can talk about anything you'd like, doesn't have to be political, doesn't even have to, you know, do with anything that we've talked about today. But, on to the national politics. Man, time is flying, I got like 18 minutes left. All right, well, Trump has put tariffs on more than 80 countries, that includes the EU. I don't think Trump quite understands what he's doing sometimes. I mean, I don't know. I guess he's a big fan of the tariffs, but I think tariffs are not great. It's just gonna, you know, cause the price of things to go up like it did last time. I don't know, you know, what else you want there. But I don't know. It seems, by the way, there was supposed to be a grand opening of a bridge from Canada to somewhere in Michigan, I think Detroit, but not Detroit. I don't know. Somewhere in Michigan, I don't remember where. But it was a bridge from Canada to Mexico, Canada to Michigan. And Donald Trump was originally invited to the grand opening of that, but shortly before the bridge was supposed to be, you know, opened, Donald Trump had put, like, you know, tariffs on Canada. And so Canada disinvited Donald Trump. Which Donald Trump gave some quote, like, you know, oh, basically saying, like, that's fine because they're going to be paying us, like, you know, absurd amounts of money from the tariffs. I don't know. Tariffs, I don't think, are great. And I think it's only going to make the economic situation worse. Also, gas prices have reached a new national high. Almost $4.50 a gallon. I think we're at like $4.49 or something like that, if I remember correctly. But highest national average. So, you know, I don't think the tariffs are going to help with any of that. It's probably going to make it worse. And, you know, I don't know what you do, about that. I mean, I guess, I don't know. They're illegal, I do believe. I could be wrong on that, but I do believe that it was determined that the tariffs were, were illegal at one point. So, anyways, more tariffs, more, dollars spent in stuff. Also, 25 states are suing the Trump administration for politicizing FEMA by withholding emergency funding from California and Minnesota, as the Trump administration claims that fraud is rampant in California and Minnesota. I don't know what all states are in the 25-state coalition that's suing the Trump administration, but, you know, I think that it probably is being politicized. You know, I don't know how else really. I mean, I don't know. Has there been fraud? I suppose, but you know, there's that. But I don't think that withholding FEMA money, you know, the like a disaster cleanup, not cleanup, but like you know, they're you know, I don't know what FEMA stands for. But it's, you know, like, an emergency cleanup thing. Yeah, they, you know, for floods and whatnot. But, so, I don't know what's gonna come of that, but I felt it was, necessary to mention. And yeah, hopefully they win the lawsuit, but I don't know how long lawsuits like that take. So, nonetheless, that's another lawsuit against the Trump administration. I don't know how many lawsuits are currently active against the Trump administration. But I'm gonna find out real fast because I think it'll be interesting. Well, I don't. There are, I don't know, it just says over 490 lawsuits currently challenging policies and actions implemented by the Trump administration. 490 active lawsuits. And media outlets and legal trackers are following more than 750 to 900 distinct legal challenges against administration's sweeping policy changes. So look at that. Lots of policy changes, lots of lawsuits. Or lots of policy challenges and lots of lawsuits. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know what the average is on, like, people being sued, but, I don't know. That seems like a lot. I could be wrong, though. I mean, maybe, you know, Biden was sued a lot also. But I didn't hear about state coalitions suing Joe Biden. So, anyways, the House has passed a second War Powers resolution, now that the May 1st deadline has come and gone with no results from the, administration. And, in a letter he sent to Congress on May 1st, which was the deadline, he wrote, Trump being he, wrote, in part because, you know, I couldn't find the full letter. I have and will continue to direct the United States Armed Forces consistent with my responsibilities and pursuant to my constitutional authority to conduct United States foreign relations and as Commander-in-Chief and Chief Executive. So he basically told Congress to kick bricks. He didn't need their authority and he was going to do what he wanted. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what passing the second War Powers Resolution is going to do. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the military could stop obeying them, I guess. I mean, at this point, I'd assume they'd be considered unlawful orders. You know, the deadline is passed, and we're supposed to have withdrawn troops by now. You know. But, I do know that the Trump administration has, I don't know that the loophole works. I'm not a lawyer, and I don't know what the exact law reads. But it does say that there was a ceasefire, and because of the ceasefire, it pauses or stops the 60-day deadline that Congress imposes. So I don't know if that works or doesn't work, but I think that using a loophole to get around Congress trying to rein you in for war powers, I mean, come on, guy. I don't know. But whatever, I guess. I mean, you know, nobody's gonna do anything about it. So I guess we'll see what happens there. Or nobody has done anything, nobody will do anything. Oh. But, once again, has passed a second War Powers Resolution. The Senate has also tried to pass a second one, but theirs failed, I want to say 47 to 49, because they had people who didn't vote. Four people didn't vote. I don't remember who all the... four people didn't vote, if I recall correctly. But anyways, I know Mitch McConnell, you know, he did not vote. I think Susan Collins voted in favor of the War Powers Act. John Fetterman voted against the War Powers Act. So, you know, there's that. I don't know what the second one's gonna do. He didn't follow the first one, but, I guess this one's probably more symbolic anyways because the deadline... I mean, I wouldn't think the deadline restarts by passing it a second time, because if it would, I don't think they would have passed it a second time, because they already passed it once, and the deadline's already passed. I don't see where this ends with, you know, the Trump administration, just disobeying Congress, but, you know, it is what it is at this moment in time. And, we shall see where it goes. I would assume at some point he's gonna have to listen to Congress. I don't know who's gonna make him. But I guess I hope at some point he starts listening to Congress. By the way, speaking of Donald Trump, Giants quarterback Jackson Dart, is taking heat because he introduced Trump at a Fighting for American Workers event, and when he was asked about it, he said that it was a unique opportunity and that he's always respected the office of the president, regardless of party, and he said that's all it was, respect for the president. Now, like I said, he did catch a lot of flack for this. A lot of people were upset. He did kind of dodge the question. They asked him if he understood that introducing Donald Trump was going to be controversial. And he kind of dodged the question. Which, fair enough, I guess. You know, you don't have to answer a question if you don't want to answer a question, I suppose. But yeah, Saquon Barkley also, Saquon Barkley defended him by coming out and saying that he had a golf outing with both Obama and Donald Trump, and that he was also attacked for golfing with Donald Trump. And then he said that politics is just a lose-lose if you're in the NFL and if you're in professional sports in general. Which I probably think is true. I mean, politics is one of those things that's just divisive, and I think that introducing Donald Trump, regardless of how he felt about it, was definitely going to be controversial no matter what he said or did. I mean, I guess there's nothing to stop him from, like, getting up there and saying, oh, and now, like, I don't know, like, he could just lay into Donald Trump. And now, for the worst president in the United States history, who lies through his teeth like there isn't a tomorrow, Donald J. Trump. You know, he could have done something like that, I guess, but then he probably would have never gotten a speaking invitation again. But no, he did say he always had, is probably the better way to put it, respect for the office of the president, and, but I guess this kind of goes back to my question that I like to ask people. If you could meet Donald Trump, would you do it? And a lot of people have said no, and that they wouldn't meet him, or, something like that. If I got an invitation to go to the White House and meet Donald Trump, I probably would. I mean, I would go. I would, shake his hand. How's it going, Mr. President? Nice to meet you. The pleasantries, as it were. But beyond that, I mean, and, you know, it's the president. I also have respect for the office of the president, as it goes. But... So I'd give him the due respect of, how's it going? Nice to meet you, Mr. President. That kind of thing. But I am under no obligation to, like, kiss his rear end or anything like that. I mean, the man asks me for my opinion on something. I'm going to let him know that I think he's probably the worst president the United States has ever had, and then so on and so forth. I don't really know, I don't know why you wouldn't see, I mean, I don't know. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. Like I said, I'd go meet Donald Trump. Why wouldn't you? I mean, I don't know. I couldn't imagine disliking somebody to the extent that I wouldn't. Meet them. I guess. I mean, like, what's he gonna do to me? I mean, like, he's, I don't know. I mean, nothing's gonna happen. He might get upset if I was invited, I would go, but he better not ask about my opinion on things, or he's probably not gonna be happy. But I don't know. I mean, Donald Trump's an interesting kind of a person, because a lot of the times I think about Bill Maher saying when he went to visit Donald Trump at the White House, he said that Donald Trump admitted that he lost the election in 2020, and he was, like, one of the nicest people you would ever want to meet, and he was real friendly and courteous and, so on and so forth. Which I can believe that. I mean, I can believe that Donald Trump is in person, a nice enough kind of a fellow. I guess. I mean, I don't know why it'd be unbelievable. But I do think that... I don't know. I don't really know what he's playing at. Trump's a confusing kind of a person. But nonetheless, I thought, I would shake Trump's hand if I got the chance. Now, we got about 2.5 minutes here, so if you have anything you'd like to say, this is your last chance, probably, to call in 740-383-9944. But, in the meantime, I have one last story to talk about here, so it looks like perfect timing. A study done by Stanford shows that people are increasingly using AI to decide political positions. I think AI, like I had mentioned earlier, is probably going to have to be regulated. more, you know, more strongly. I don't think there's been enough regulation on it. I mean, I don't really think we understand it, so I don't know how we would regulate it, I suppose. I mean, you could just put, you know, restrictions on it to put restrictions on it. Or, like, I don't know, maybe make it to where, like, it can only, like, I don't know, there's no such thing, like, it just can't give you opinions or something. I don't know, I couldn't tell you. But, nonetheless, I think that using AI to determine political positions is dumb. Like, probably, like, the dumbest. I don't know why you would leave your political beliefs up to a machine that has no thoughts or opinions and just pulls everything it can from the internet. It's a predictive response machine. I don't know what you would call it. It's a large language model. It's a predictive language machine. You ask it a question, it does not understand what you even wrote. It takes that and then, like, runs it through, like, basically you're just, like, Googling a question, and Google doesn't understand your question, and it pulls up a bunch of results. And that's what ChatGPT or any of the other things does. It takes your thing, basically Googles it, and then reads a whole bunch of, reads, quote-unquote, more like compiles all this information and spits out what it thinks you want. It doesn't actually know anything. So ChatGPT is just pulling stuff off the internet, and so, you know, your beliefs are going to be based on a hodgepodge of internet things. But with that being said, we have about 8 seconds. So you can listen live 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at www.wwgh1071.com. You can listen on the TuneIn app for free, Alexa, Google Nest, you know, just about any smart device. But for tonight, I am done. I appreciate everybody for listening. Have a nice night, and goodbye.
Hands and energize our transmitter.